Durant. Oh! A jawbreaker!
Curry with a drive. Blocked by Jackson.
Bane, step back three. Bingo!
All right, hello, Grizzly fans, and welcome to the latest edition of The Core Four, one of the featured podcasts here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. We are taping this show Wednesday evening, December 6th, 2023, an hour or so before the Grizzlies tip off in Detroit to play the Pistons, a team that has, oh my God, lost 17 games in a row. It's a game that comes after some much-needed rest following the past weekend's back-to-back games. Today, we will feature some of our regular Core 4 segments, Xavier's X's and O's. We have a quarter-season report card, a true-false segment, although the show is going to be significantly different moving forward because one of our co-hosts, Matt Gill, will not be recording with us anymore so he can focus on other projects that he has going on. And we certainly are going to miss him. Hopefully, he can come back once in a while, you know, if he wants to help us break down the Memphis Grizzlies. We will certainly miss his unique perspectives for sure. My name is David Buckler, and today I'm joined by my co-host Xavier Dotson. How you doing, bud?
Man, I'm doing fine. Yeah, give a quick shout out to Matt.
Yeah.
He's been with us throughout, you know, the revamp of the Core 4 podcast. And I know he's off doing bigger and better things, but anytime, Matt, you want to come back and join us, feel free to do so. But in terms of basketball-wise right now, the Grizzlies, I guess you could say they're starting to sort of get their gear up together. Their things are starting to look a little bit positive. Obviously, we are six games away from Ja Morant being back. Guys are starting to get back healthy. Maybe the turnaround is here. And we got a very, very exciting episode.
Yeah, it feels sort of like things are moving in the right direction. Xavier, let me ask you, I mean, we lost to Phoenix the last game, but didn't it sort of feel like they really played a good basketball game against a good team, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of positives to take away from that Phoenix game. Obviously, you know, when you matched up against Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, it's going to be a battle, uphill battle. But, man, Jaren Jackson looked unstoppable. I know he has been having a rough patch. Was it probably the last 10 games? It was good to see him have a bounce back. Desmond Bane, he's back looking a little bit more healthier with his stride. And then we got an emergence new player of Vince Williams. You know, a lot of people forget that he's on even on our team. I feel like the Grizzlies got to make a lot of tough decisions down the line going forward because, you know, once these guys get healthy, we got guys right now that are on, you know, special contracts. So the Grizzlies got to make these decisions of figuring out who they want to keep, what long-term projects do they want to really focus on, and hopefully we can start winning us some great games.
Let me ask you before we get into the sections of the show tonight, are you enjoying the in-season tournament? I got to tell you, I watched that Lakers game last night with Phoenix, and I thought it was great drama. I really enjoyed it.
I'm really for the in-season tournament. I was watching the qualifying games. I feel like it's more set tone towards younger teams and a lot of scoring. The Pacers matched that criteria so well. I've been watching the Pacers a lot. I was big on the Pacers even before the season started. But as far as, you know, am I enjoying it? Yes, it's great basketball that you can have in the early months of the NBA. And, you know, a lot of times, a lot of these teams, they take it chill. They really want to ramp things up in the middle of the season, you know, going for it for the playoffs. But a lot of these players, especially, like I said, with the younger teams, they not on those big contracts, major contracts. So that $500K, that can do them justice in their pockets. So, I mean, obviously there's some incentives going forward if you make the tournament and as well you win it. So I'm enjoying it. I you know, tomorrow is the semifinals. You got the Bucks and Pacers and then the Lakers
Pelicans.
Yeah. I'm actually rooting for a Pacers and Pelicans, I guess you could say, finals in the in-season tournament because I feel like it's more set towards young, exhilarating players. Mm-hmm. And, man, the way that Tyrese Halliburton came out that game, bro, I mean, he's looking like he's going to be an all-star again this year.
You know, and it's an interesting Final Four because you have Zion Williamson. So this could be maybe like the step that he needs to cut, you know, the national stage, a big moment for him. I kind of feel like it's a very interesting Final Four. The NBA probably wants Milwaukee versus the Lakers, right?
Yes.
But I don't know. All four teams are, I thought LeBron was unbelievable last night, turning back the clock. Really, really fun I think it's been a success. I do want to talk to you maybe in a future episode after we see how this plays out, how they can tweak it and make it relevant going forward, because it's a little bit new now. There's some novelty. Maybe, I don't know, you get like two wins for every win. Maybe you're guaranteed of a home court advantage in the first round. Well, let's table that and talk about that later. One other question before we get to our topics. How bad do we need this win tonight? I mean, this seems like a layup. They've lost 17 games in a row, Detroit. I mean, we got to win tonight, Xavier, right?
Yeah, we have to win. We're thinking this is an easy win, but at the same time, the Pistons are looking like, man, we really need a win because, like I said, 17 games in a row of a losing streak, that's not good. So, you know, the Pistons are going to be hungry. A lot of us thinking, wow, well, we should get this easily. But I don't think this is necessarily going to be such an easy game because the Pistons want to – they want to end that losing streak, that stigma. So I still feel comfortable we're going to come out with the W, of course. I tweeted that this morning. Well, hopefully we play well. Like I said, we got Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose has been actually pretty great for us. He's returned back. So I feel like I'm pretty confident that we'll get the win against Detroit.
Yeah, and we'll talk maybe more about Derrick Rose during our report card segment here. We'll see if he makes that list here. But I want to jump in, Xavier, to your Xavier X's and O's. You did such a great job posting the videos and really breaking down the ins and outs of Memphis Grizzly basketball. And what I wanted to focus on today is Jalen Noel. Such an interesting piece of this roster now. He's on a second 10-day contract. And this is, you know, he has good size, 6'4". I like that. He's young. He's in the Grizzly timeline. But what's interesting to me, in 19 minutes or so a game, he's only averaging about 6 points a game, you know, a little less than 3 rebounds, and he's not got great shooting numbers. In fact, from 3-point, pretty bad. But there seems to be an energy that he brings to the team. So there's a lot of talk about, let's get Noel on the roster. What do you see that he's adding to the Grizzlies?
You see with Noel is somebody who's a shot creator. I know, like you said, that the stats aren't just eye-popping, but the way that he has his movement and his fluidity on the court, he's another ball handler and who can get to his spots and create plays. Besides Ja Morant and Desmond Bain, we do not have no one else that can create their own shot. These are guys that need to be set up, especially with Ja. With us missing out Ja, these guys need any easy looks as they can get. You get Jalen Noel, he's not a starting type of guy. You're not asking him to do a lot of much, but when he does come in, say, hey, if you give us 10 or 15 points, that'll be great. But even what you're saying, though, about his points being only like 6 points per game, he's still making plays out there on the court. He has some great ball handling, getting to the correct spots, finding wide open players. I don't think we've had somebody that's sort of a threat off the bench of being a shot creator since, was it Marshawn Brooks or even before then? You could take
and
it
my
back
dream up of DeMar DeRozan, right? Or, you know, or Jordan Clarkson,
a Walmart version of them. Him. Right. So I'm pretty excited for, you know, Jalen Noel. Obviously, like I said earlier, man, the Grizzlies got to make some tough decisions because I feel like they didn't sign him to another second day contract for no reason. They started him in that Phoenix game. I feel like he's going to have a spot on this team because he brings a little something that the Grizzlies have been missing for a while since this new Grizzlies era.
So I don't know the answer to this. Can they sign him to a third 10-day? I mean, can this just keep going? At what point do they have to make a roster decision on him?
I think you only can sign a player up to 3 10-days for one. And then as well, you know, we're granted a hardship due to the fact of the injury. So as more players come back, it doesn't matter if he's signed on a 10-day. Once those players come back, you know, we have to make a decision. Either we're going to cut a main guy or we're going to bring Noel to the main roster. So Kleiman got some thinking to do. I know we got a lot of players, especially our younger talent, is, you know, they're tied up on their rookie deals. But, I mean, when you have somebody that's put alleviating pressure on the offense, you know, helping us. Kleiman got to make some tough decisions because, you know, we looking going a little bit off topic. Bismack Biyombo, he's sort of, you know, on a hardship deal. Mm-hmm. Once everybody else come back, I think we got to make a decision. Do we want Biyombo? Do we want Kenny Lofton? So
I was thinking about Noel, and what I found fascinating about him, Xavier, I have to tell you, coming into the season, the roster that was in place, I felt like the guys were depressed about the John Morant situation and about some of the other injuries, you know, the Adams injury, the Brandon Clark injury. And I felt like a lot of the team felt like there was a black cloud over what's going on. You know, you bring in a guy like Noel, you know, he was on his couch before he got this call, right? So, I mean, theoretically, right? Like, he's super excited to be on the Memphis Grizzlies. I think that goes a long way. I really enjoyed watching him play because I feel like he brings forward a little bit of energy to the team. Like, guys, I'm in the NBA again. You know, we're all in the NBA. This is a fantastic life, and we can all contribute. So is that at least a fair kind of perspective on what he brings? A little bit of pizzazz, a little bit of energy.
Yeah, a breath of fresh air. Yeah. That's what you can say. Of course, I mean, this is somebody on the outside. He hasn't been with us, you know, training camp. Like you said, he was a guy that was on the couch just waiting for a call, an opportunity. And so, you know, when he was out there, he's itching and hungry,
yeah,
wanting a full-time roster spot. I'm pretty sure that's what he really wants, is a full-time roster spot, of course. So, obviously, when he did come off the bench, and a lot of people were surprised, like, wow, how was this guy really on the couch? Well, he's got a point to prove. I mean, he wants to show Zach Kleiman and Taylor Jenkins, like, hey, I want to be a part of this organization. I don't care if you guys are 4-20. I want to turn this thing around. You know, I want to be a part of something, make us to a winning team, in which I feel like the Grizzlies are capable of doing that. And he could bring, like I said, those attributes that the Grizzlies are missing and be a part of a ongoing building process of making the Grizzlies better.
Yeah, and so we're going to come back to this in a climbing corner in next week or two, because we're going to have a little more, you know, to see how he contributes. But I want to go to our next topic, Xavier, but I really enjoyed the conversation on Noel, because he's brought something to the team that I think that was really needed. So we'll see over these next couple games, and games they really have a real shot to win, right? There's a little soft part of our schedule. So let's hold there and go to now our second part of the show. Our quarter season report card. I can't even believe we're almost 25% into the season. Ja Morant's about, what, 6 games away from coming back. I want to go A through F with you on a quarter season report card. And I did make the note here, my sheet here, that injuries count, right? I mean, like, there's context here. This is not just you just take the statistics that you see on ESPN.com. So I'm going to go first. I'm going to go, who gets an A for the first part, and if we can agree or disagree, I think Desmond Bane gets an A for the first quarter. He's been wonderful. I think his shooting splits are great. I mean, 38% from three, shooting 85% from the free throw line, 45% from the field, averaging close to 24 points a game. I don't know what more we could ask for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd do even better, A+ for Desmond Bane, because truth be told, if he was on a winning team right now, he would be a front runner, almost probably a top 10 player, MVP candidate, you know, all-star type guy. But, man, he's been phenomenal. I don't know where the Grizzlies would be without him, because it's ironic. I never expected Bane to elevate his game like this. I thought he was just going to be a standstill, catch-and-shoot, three-point shooter, and I was just going to be satisfied with that. But, you know, to continue to improve on his game, be a ball handler, become a leader, as well as, you know, while Jai is out, I'm definitely proud of Desmond Bane, and he deserves an A.
He's a wonderful NBA player, and given the fact that other defenses now are really zeroing in on him, and he's still finding ways to be productive and contribute, it's been wonderful to watch, and maybe a byproduct of the negativity with Ja being out and giving him some, you know, more to do. So would you have him as an A? You said A+. We're good to move to the
yes.
Yeah. So let's go to B. So, I had Jaren Jackson Jr. as a B, and I would sort of go even B-. You know, a lot of folks are on Twitter giving all the statistics about how this, that, and the other. I mean, he's got good numbers, 19.6, 6.2 rebounds. That's an uptick. Assists are fine. The blocks are down. You know, that's fine. Not terribly, but it's my inconsistency with him sometimes. And what I would say, Xavier, is that he doesn't impose his will sometimes. I mean, like against Phoenix, he had 37 points. I mean, he's a wonderful NBA player. but there is a bit of inconsistency to him sometimes that makes me question if he's a two or a three when it comes to winning an NBA championship. What do you think?
You know, I go through that question as well as this, as I'm observing this season. Jaren coming into the draft when we drafted him, I don't think he was the number one guy. But at the same time, a lot of people feel like that his defense is more of a positive compared to his offense, because his defense is just skyrocketed compared to his offensive game. It just needs time to grow and develop, and which he has developed a pretty nice offensive game. But teams are now dialing into him due to the fact, I mean, Ja Morant is out, and then, you know, he's the next co-star. He was an all-star last year, so teams are circled in on him. His moves offensively are repetitive. He needs to develop a little bit more of He needs to develop more moves in his game, because these guys, these players and coaches and staff, they're learning your game, and you have to adapt and grow. I don't see the way that the Grizzlies value defense so much. I don't see him as I feel like he's the co-star to Ja, as more as, you know, Desmond Bain is the co-star to Ja. I feel him that he is the second most important player here on this Grizzly organization. His defense is just gives us so much emphasis, and it's still, I mean, as much as the Grizzlies has been bad, they're top 10 in a defensive rating right now, and a lot of it does come from Jaren Jackson Jr.
Would it be a fair rating for him? I mean, do you think he's been better than that, or is kind of a B?
That's the range I would give him a grade, is a okay. B, because he hasn't been consistent, as like you said. But at the same time, though, his flashes of him is like, man, he can be a top five power forward in the league, but it's just the consistency. And I mean, you look at another guy like Anthony Davis, consistency has always been a question for him.
So what do you have for the letter C? Who's been like super average for you in the first part of the season?
If I had to say somebody who has been pretty average this far, I say Xavier Tillman. I expected Tillman to make a big jump this year. You know, it's a contract year. Obviously, you know, you have a huge opportunity with the Steven Adams being out this year. I understand he has injuries, but man, when have we ever known for you to just sit in the corner and shoot threes the entire year? Xavier Tillman, I know that you are an NBA player and Taylor Jenkins allow, you know, to let the three fly, but man, you're better than that. If you see the shot not falling, go inside the paint, my guy. I feel like he's sort of taking a step back. You know, I guess a lot of has been put on him due to the fact, you know, the weight of the shoulders of Adams is not being out there. And then as well, he was the only big for a while, him and Jaren. But I expected a little bit more out of Tillman.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's one guy I give a C average.
You know, that's an interesting choice. It's funny. I had Bismack Biyombo because I think he's been really a good addition for what they brought him for. I mean, he's, you know, still look. I mean, he's averaging less than 7 points in the summer. I mean, let's be at least clear with what he is. He's an average NBA player. However, for what they brought him in to do, I think he's been average for what they brought him in to do. He's had some good games, some average games. That's why. But I think he's been an important acquisition, which is interesting that you had Xavier Tillman, because, you know, you kind of would have hoped that Xavier Tillman took that next step and we wouldn't have needed someone like Bismack Biyombo. But, again, it's good to have him on the roster. For D, who do you have for the letter D? This guy's got a failing grade.
Taylor Jenkins.
Oh, interesting.
TJ, man. I know the past two seasons he's led us to 50-plus victories. But this year, I understand you got injuries, you without your star, but you got to be able to find ways and what you have to win games. And I feel like he's been done a poor job with that.
Wow.
I actually finding ways to get Jaren involved offensively, just because he's not setting up Jaren at the best way for him to score. His strategies, especially defensively, it took a minute for us to, you know, finally be dialed in defensively. But at the same time, though, our defense is still skeptical around the perimeter. And I'm just trying to understand what is going on in Taylor Jenkins' mind. So I feel like his coaching adjustments has not been great at all this year. So I'll give him a D.
That's a fascinating selection, because you would go back 2 years from now and we all were talking about what a wonderful coach he was. You know, we spent a lot of time on Xavier's X's and O's, like his out of bounds plays seemed pretty creative, right? He had a lot of schemes that seemed pretty creative, but that's a really interesting choice. And it doesn't feel sometimes, you mentioned Jaren's offensive moves. It doesn't feel sometimes like the team is brilliantly coached. They're okay. Like, you know, he's had a lot of injuries to deal with and Ja's suspension, but I love it. My D, I had a little bit different. I had my D for John Conchar. I looked at his statistics. I mean, 3 points, less than 4 rebounds. We signed him to a pretty nice contract for a guy, a rotation player in the NBA. Ugh. I mean, shooting less than 30% from three. I just don't see the growth, Xavier. I don't see the, I think at this point in his career, I expected more from him.
Yeah, Jiddy isn't Jiddying this year. I don't think the big John Conchar stands are just actually – on Twitter raving about Conchar, because I mean, obviously his play has been sort of pretty poor this year.
Yeah.
It's been a regression.
But wouldn't you also argue that like he had opportunities now? I mean, with Marcus Smart getting hurt and Luke Kennard getting hurt and Jana being, I mean, you would think like when he goes to bed at night, he's like, this is my opportunity now to really get minutes.
Yeah. You sort of got to remember, going back to last offseason, the Grizzlies signed him to the contract to basically be De'Anthony Melton's replacement.
Yes.
He's not covered the ground of De'Anthony Melton at all. I mean, even with all of these injuries and depleted players, he's still like the 12th man. So it's not a good look right now for Jiddy.
Totally with you. All right, let's move to the letter F here as we finish up topic two. So I'm going to go first. My letter F, the total failure F, is Ja Morant. And, you know, it's okay to be angry with Ja Morant because he's not coming back from a blown ACL or an injury. He's coming back from behavioral issues. So, you know, frankly, Ja, at 5-14, looking up at the rest of the Western Conference, I'm a little frustrated with you and a little angry with you. And I think it's okay to be angry with him. You know, nobody wants to speak out because we don't want him to leave Memphis. You know, he's not coming back from an injury. And it's funny, I saw something on Twitter, Xavier, comparing him to all these other all-star guards, you know, like SGA and Halliburton. And they're like, oh, well, Ja's better all. You know, they're also playing. Halliburton's playing, and he's playing in Vegas, actually, tomorrow night. So, you know, all this Ja love, like, and look, it's a long season. He can come back, and maybe he'll be, an A grade as we get through the rest of the year. But I'm a little upset with Ja Morant right now because we're 5-14 in the Western Conference.
I mean, yeah, it's understandable to have frustrations with Ja. I wouldn't, you know, that's not my person that I have that's for health. But I can understand the frustrations. For my health, I got Zach Kleiman, though.
Oh, wow. An F.
Kleiman didn't do his job this offseason, I feel like, man. The preparation going into the season, not knowing the misdiagnosis with Steven Adams as well, not surrounding this team with capable talent, because you put a lot on the line trying to think that G League and second rounders and late blossom, hopefully one of these wings blossom, man, you know that the title contention, the title window is right now. You have to put your chips on the line, get you some nice veteran players and whatnot. I'm not saying that our players are just complete trash, but at the same time, we look at other teams, the way that they've grown, It's a big jump right now from the Grizzlies to other younger teams. You look at like the Magic, of course, the Thunder, Pacers. These are teams that's young and on the rise. And man, the Grizzlies, they're sort of behind right now. So
interesting. Okay, let's jump to topic three. We're gonna rapid fire through these, Xavier. They're true false. I'm gonna throw out a true false statement here. We have not talked about these before for those listening. So I want your natural reaction. And first true false for you is Memphis can still avoid the play-in and be potentially a top six seed in the Western Conference. True or false?
I say true. You look at the West right now. Yes, we're like four games right now from the play-in. I don't see these older teams such as the Clippers, the Lakers. Those teams, I feel like they're going to fall into the play-in. It's just too long of a season. And honestly, I think those teams – they can't beat the bigger teams right now. So that's I feel like true that we can make a top six seed.
Interesting. Okay, good. I don't know. I have to think more about that. In fact, we're going to learn a lot about this team in the next month, right? The math just starts working against you. True, false, the second one for you. Tyus Jones regrets being in Washington.
Oh, true. Poor Tyus right now, man. It's unfortunate. Maybe you could buy him a flight back down to Memphis, Dave. you know, you got Jordan Poole. He's not even looking like he's a capable NBA player right now. It's a lot of shot chucking. Just poor basketball up there in Washington.
How many times do we hear, well, you know, he's a starting point guard, you know, all this kind of stuff. He's the best backup in the league. But situations matter, right? Had he gone to, like, Phoenix and been, like, a nice complimentary point guard there or another team, you know, there's a lot of teams out there. He may have been really helpful, Miami. But to go to Washington and hear my hometown Wizards, but they're really, really average right now at best. And he's struggling, and I feel kind of bad for him. I know he was traded as part of the Marcus Smart deal, but for years it felt like he wanted to go somewhere to be a starter. Well, they're 3-16. So, now my next true false for you, Xavier. The next seven games, six against the Western Conference, and we got two against Houston, Dallas, New Orleans, OKC, and Minnesota. They will basically determine the season. The next seven games. Ja's going to get integrated back here at some point, but six against the West, some of these teams right above us, you know, in the standings. What do you think?
I say no, it doesn't dictate the season.
Okay.
We look last year with the Lakers how terrible of a start they had. They made the play-in, make a Western Conference final run. We're still a young team. Guys are going to get healthy. You know, it is a big stretch for us right now. It would be great to have a lot of our confidence back and whatnot. But at the same time, we get Ja back at the last stretch of the year. I think he'll have these guys playing at a higher level. So I say, false to that.
Now, in fairness, we got two against Houston. You got to win these games. You know, if for example, we lose those two to Houston, you don't see them many more times the rest of the year to try to catch them, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I know OKC and Minnesota are the top of the Western Conference, but Dallas and New Orleans are kind of in the middle there. I mean, these are the teams that when we play them, these are important games. I know tonight's important against Detroit, but that's an Eastern Conference team. We'll see. The last true false for you, I like this segment. Vince Williams Jr., he will turn out to be the best pick of the 2022 draft.
True. It's crazy to see the note. He was the last pick out that draft for the Grizzlies. All that hard work down there in South Haven is paying off. Man, we're not asking for Vince to do much. It's just be courageous on defense, shoot the threes. I can see him turn into like a Herb Jones type player. I'm happy to see him flourish right now. I'm glad he's getting that love.
It's an interesting question though, right? I mean, I would have told you 6 months ago he has no chance to be an NBA player. And he's been interesting. I'd like his shooting splits. I mean, even, you know, over 90% from the free throw line. Remember how many times we talked last year about the Grizzlies can't shoot free throws? So yeah. We'll see. I mean, obviously, you know, only in 14 minutes a game, he's averaging about 5 points a game. I mean, you know, he's got some growth, but there's been a sort of an energy. When you do a great job on Xavier's, TikTok videos, and it's breaking down Vince Williams. Like, I never thought we were going to talk about this, and all of a sudden people are excited about Vince Williams Jr.
I know, yeah, he has a whole fandom now on Twitter.
Yeah.
So he brings a breath of fresh air in the wing position because our wings really have sort of been poor this year. Inconsistent, let's say that.
I got you. So listen, our final piece here, we're going to wrap up here soon. I want to give each of us a final say, you know, final take, whatever we got. I'm going to start. Do you want me to start or do you want to start?
You can go.
All right, I'll tell you. So my final say for tonight, we're 5-14, so the first 19 games, Xavier, to me, they just couldn't have gone worse. Yeah, it's been pretty bad, 5-14. But there is some help on the way, right? Marcus Smart's getting healthy. Luke Kennard's getting healthy. And, of course, John Morant's coming back. And we're not at Christmas yet. And, you know, usually I'm a Grinch, right? I'm pretty grouchy about the team. But we do have a chance. And one thing I will say about this 25% of the season that's gone by, it's given other guys sort of an opportunity to show the front office what they can do. And, you know, and frankly, that's good and bad. I would argue Kenny Lofton Jr. has sort of not taken that opportunity, whereas Vince Williams Jr. has. So if we, you know, 5 years from now, look back at this, we can say that was an interesting time period for the Grizzlies because it took away our superstar and gave other guys a chance to say, look, I want to be in the rotation of a team that can compete for a championship. So for me, my final say for tonight is we have some clarity on the future that I wanted in the summer. It's not always good. Clarity is not always good, but we do have more of it on what some of these guys can give us. And I'm going to turn to you for your final say.
I like what you said about, you know, we have clarity of guys now. And that brings me to what I'm saying. The front office got some tough decisions to make right now. It goes in ties with the clarity. Which of these young guys do you really want? Because I see the Grizzlies making a trade sometime this season. I do. Even though, yeah, we are not in the best position, a lot of people, and I'm not going to say a lot, but some people do believe that we should just go ahead and tank this season. Now, we know that's not going to happen. Ja Morant is too competitive. Desmond Bane is too competitive. But
and Marcus Smart.
And Marcus Smart. But obviously, we know this team isn't good enough to compete right now, especially with the pieces that we have. This little run between these first 25 games gave the front office clarity of who should they really keep and who should they go ahead and try to bundle these guys up to make a move. So my big take right now is they have clarity of like what guys they really want to keep and who they know to move on from.
I got you. I think it's really been a fascinating start to the season. Great recording with you tonight here on the Core Four. I love your videos on social media. Tell everybody where they can find them.
Yeah, so you can find me, of course, on X/Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at Zaytime Takes as well, yeah, on YouTube. And then you can find me on TikTok at _XZNY.
Yeah, those are really good. And I love how you add the video to it of the actual game footage. So you can always find me on DOB19338 at, like you said, X or Twitter, whatever you call it. Don't forget to check out the Core Four throughout the season here on Bluff City Media. Matt, we miss you. Xavier, great to record with you tonight. I ask those listening to follow the show on Twitter at the Core Four Podcast or send us questions and topics you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Great being with you today, Xavier, and let's get a win tonight in Detroit.
Yes, sir.
You got it. Thank you for tuning in and being part of the Core Four, the show for the hardcore Memphis Grizzlies fans.
Stolen by Morant. Hammer, nail, coffin. This baby is over.